But first, let's go to some of your voice notes, particularly responding to that conversation that I had with Duncan Craig. He is the travel editor at The Times in the UK. Let's have a listen.
There also is a thought that's out there that the UK is not trusting our handwritten certificates or cards that we have been issued with because of corruption and fraud in this country. So it's really important that the digitized ones are rolled out soon. Hi, this is Denise from Glenkin. I would like to know about the vaccination certificate, the digitized one, because all of our vaccination cards are handwritten. I have seen news reports that the vaccination certificate will be rolled out soon, and that report was put out onto the media about 10 days ago, or maybe slightly more. And they said that the vaccination certificate will be rolled out in just over a week. So it is well over a week. And can we please have some more information on that if it's available? Thank you.
Your thoughts, your calls, 021-446-0567. But other countries accept our paper vaccination certificate. I know it's not perfect, and I would be very skeptical. But knowing friends and family who have traveled to and from Doha in Qatar, for example, accepting our handwritten card vaccination certificate, but you then sign up to a program in that country, which sort of gives you then a Qatari vaccination certificate. But you very rightly said, President Cyril Ramaphosa saying that they're developing a more formal vaccination certificate. We wait and hear what is up next.
You're with Cape Talk.
The Morning Review with Lester Kivett.
Only on Cape Talk.
Every Monday we cross to our colleagues at the BBC getting a British point of view on what's happening in the world. Audrey Tinlan joins me now on the line from London. Good morning, Audrey. How are you doing?
Good morning. Nice to hear from you as well.
I hope you're well. Our first story that we're going to be covering is regarding COVID-19. As October approaches, many countries are changing how they mandate COVID passes or give out vaccines. That's something that we've just been talking about a short while ago. What is the latest when it comes to the almost ever-changing rules when it comes to vaccine certification?
Yeah, there's a lot of change going on what people will accept. I just heard what you were saying there. You know, what's happening with the mandating of vaccines? There's some interesting stuff happening in the US this week. So in the US, all companies employing more than 100 people need to require their staff to be fully vaccinated or have weekly COVID tests. But specifically in New York today, there's a case coming up in the courts this week, because in New York, there's a deadline for state school staff to have at least one COVID-19 vaccine jab. But that's being challenged in the courts by some of the staff. So the mandate is sort of on hold for the moment. Also in New York, hospitals and nursing homes are now bracing themselves for the possibility that healthcare workers might leave or have to leave because they've been told they have to have a COVID-19 vaccine, and that should be underway. So lots of countries, I wouldn't say lots, I must say, a number of countries are starting to do this now. In Italy, for example, healthcare workers need to show proof of vaccination, negative test, recent recovery from the infection. So, you know, some countries are coming in with this and they're mandating it. Here in the UK, of course, in the past couple of weeks, a deadline has passed for care workers in our care homes for old people or people in long-term care. They need to be vaccinated. So rules are changing. In some areas, they're tightening up. Where vaccines are available, governments seem to be saying to their people, we have offered you the vaccine. Now you need to take it for some jobs.
There's momentum that's gathering ahead of the COP26 summit in Glasgow. And this week, two young people from every country in the world will meet ahead of the pre-COP26 summit in Milan. What's expected to be happening at the pre-summit? And of course, this will be happening virtually with so many restrictions still in place. But in terms of tackling the issue of the climate crisis, what's expected to be discussed, and hopefully what concrete measures will be adopted?
Well, actually, for some people, it's virtual, and some people are actually going to be getting together there in Milan. It's still not clear how many people will actually be able to get there. It was a bit of a problem with some of the young people, obviously. They've been so looking forward for often, you know, a couple of years, these young people, on getting together in person, and not sure they're going to be able to do all of that. But what the point of this get together is for the ministers, first of all, they'll be meeting in Milan. They have to decide whether there's going to be any agreement on how countries are going to move further towards these Paris goals. And that's specifically things like reducing the amount of harmful greenhouse gases, increasing renewables, and spending $100 billion a year in climate finance to help poorer countries by 2020. The world has not got there yet. Interestingly, the climate summit, which opens at the end of the month, really goes into the beginning of November here in the UK. All of the 191 parties to this Paris Climate Accord, remember that's the one from 2015, they all have to agree. And that's going to be extremely difficult for them to reach a consensus on some new goals. So far, an analysis by the United Nations has found that only around 113 have submitted any updated pledges. So, a lot of talking in some ways, but this is really the last chance for the ministers to get together ahead of the big meeting to see if they're going to be able to come up with something which they can pull out of the hat at that meeting.
Audrey, there are big tech battles particularly happening in court this week. Google wants to overturn a record $5.1 billion fine in EU antitrust violations. It's a 5-day hearing expected in Europe's second highest court this week. What's this fight all about?
Yeah, this has been going on for some time, and it is a record fine. The European Commission and Google, and it must be said, a lot of the other big tech companies, the European Commission, the EU has them in their sights and have had for a number of years now. They want these companies to allow more competition into the market. They say they're too big and they stifle the smaller entrants. This one specifically is actually about the fact that when you buy an Android phone, it comes preloaded with Google apps. Now, the European Commission found that that was anti-competitive. They said because of this, most people don't bother to then download other apps. And, they wanted changes made on that. So they slapped this very big fine on Google. Google had said they were taking it to court. It was the fine was imposed in 2018. Finally, Google gets to court this week, and they've consistently said that they haven't done anything wrong. Mm. They say their business model keeps manufacturers' costs low, flexibility high, while Google says it gives consumers unprecedented control of their mobile devices. Mm. So the arguments will be rehearsed yet again, and we'll see which side the court comes down on.
Audrey Tenland, she joins us next week again for our view from Europe and the world from a BBC perspective. Audrey, thanks so much for joining us. Looking forward to next week.
You too. Great to talk to you.